Well, good morning. As you can see by my wearing a jersey today, that winter is on its way. And as we begin in May, we are starting to feel the cold a little bit. As we continue in our study in Hebrews, we come to a pretty difficult passage today, and I trust that as we study this passage, the Lord will give us wisdom in understanding it and applying it. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word again. Lord, even when we get to difficult passages like these, Lord, we just pray for insight from you so that we can grasp the truths that are contained in your word. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, through to the end of the chapter, and then the first 11 verses of chapter 6. It says this: "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need somebody to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good and evil. Let us therefore leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, instructions about baptism and laying on of hands, the resurrection of dead and eternal judgment, and God permitting we will do so. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Land that drinks in the rain after often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it was farmed, receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless, as in danger of being cursed. In the end it'll be burned. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him, as you have helped his people and continue to help him. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end, in order to make the hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised." I want to begin this message by proposing some scenarios and then asking some questions. First scenario: if you sent a child to the best school in the world and you knew that child had been tested in their IQ as being a genius, what would your expectation be? Surely you would expect to have an educated person at the end of that. Or if you provided a building contractor with building plans, building material, skilled workers and money, what would you expect? Well, surely you would expect a building at the end of that. If you placed some flour, baking powder, butter, chocolate chips, eggs, sugar, vanilla essence, and salt in a bowl and mixed the ingredients together and paste the batter in the oven, what would you expect the outcome to be? Surely you would expect to have chocolate chip cookies at the end and not roast beef. See, the point I'm making, friends, is that we don't expect things to remain the same. We expect that there would be progress. Yet, many are no deeper in their faith compared to when they became a believer. That's the issue the writer to the book of Hebrews is dealing with. And he's asking this question, what is the sign of maturity? Well, the sign of maturity, friends, is the capacity to reproduce itself. A learner becomes a teacher when they can reproduce the lesson to other learners. So, the question for us today, the message today is how to know if you have matured in your faith. That's what the writer of the Hebrews is trying to answer. How can we know if we have matured in our faith? So in answering that question, he first of all gives us a description of immature believers. Are you perhaps an immature believer? The last four verses of chapter 15 remind us of that. It says, we have much to say of this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need somebody to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by contrast have trained themselves to distinguish between good and from evil. So what is the description of an immature believer? Well, there are four signs of an immature believer. First of all, they're slow to learn. He says there, because you're slow to learn. The phrase slow to learn actually means slow to listen. Afrikaans people have a saying. They say this, die wat nie hoor moet voel. If we were translated in English, it would say, those who don't listen must feel. What they're basically saying is, friends, that there are consequences. If you don't listen, you're going to have a hard life. The Bible has many answers to many issues, yet people continue to ignore the Bible at their peril. Slow to learn. Number two. You are slow to teach. Second sign of immature people, slow to teach. Anybody who has ever been a teacher will tell you, when you prepare a lesson to teach somebody else, you learn a lot more than if you were just covering that material to write an exam. You see, when you're preparing it for somebody else, you've got to know more than the other person and know how to describe it to the other person. So the sign of an immature believer, friends, is that they never tell others about their faith. They never teach others because they don't really know themselves. They just are slow to teach. Thirdly, third sign of an immature believer is that they're slow to practice. Verse 13 says, anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. The word righteousness refers to how we exercise our faith in public. You see, righteousness has to do with right living. The immature believer knows what needs to be done and yet doesn't do it. The immature believer is constantly bringing the name of Christ into disrepute because they're slow to practice the truths of the faith. Folk, are you an immature believer? slow to practice the truths. Sure, you heard the message about the new pastor who went to a new church. And when he got to the church, he preached a sermon the first Sunday, and everybody thought it was a great sermon. And then the next Sunday, he preached exactly the same sermon, and the leaders thought, oh, you know, perhaps his memory isn't so good. So maybe he forgot what he preached last week, and he's preached the same thing. The third week, he stood up and he preached exactly the same sermon. The leaders went up to him and afterwards says, hey, what's happening here? We employed you to come and preach. So he says, the problem is you haven't done what I told you in the first sermon. So I'll continue to preach the first sermon until you do what I've told you. Then I can move on to the next one. Friends, slow to practice. The fourth sign, this is probably the most significant of them all. The fourth sign of the immature believer is that they're slow to independence. He says in verse 14, for solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish between good and evil. You see, I believe one of the greatest weaknesses we have in our education system and in the church is that people are taught what to think rather than how to think. You will notice when I preach, friends, I don't always give you the answer. I will tell you what the passage says, but I'll leave it up to you to make up your own mind. Because I'm wanting you to wrestle with the text yourself. When last, let me ask you, did you read the Bible and discover a truth for yourself? Some of you may say, well, I've never been taught. I'm not an educated person. Well, friend, you have the Holy Spirit in you. And the Holy Spirit is able to enlighten truths that you don't need a teacher for. You just need the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and He will lead you into all truth. The unbeliever, the slow believer, the immature believer. Let me ask you, are you an immature believer? Friend, you'll only know if you've matured in your faith when you've moved beyond these signs of an immature believer. Secondly, you will know if you have matured in your faith, so if you have moved beyond the description of immature believers. And secondly, the writer to the book of Hebrews makes a demand to grow beyond the basics. He says in verses 1 through 3 of chapter 6, he says, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance that leads to acts of death or of faith in God, instructions about baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, the eternal judgment, and God permitting, we will do so. What are the basics? What are the elementary teachings that the writer to the Hebrews is demanding that we grow beyond? Well, he mentions them here. The first one is repentance from acts that lead to death. Friends, the first step in moving in the right direction as a Christian is to stop moving in the wrong direction. That's repentance. Repentance is turning around, moving in the right direction. Many people confuse remorse with repentance. Remorse, friends, is when you feel sorry about something you've done. Repentance is when you change and move in the opposite direction. Let me give you an illustration. Remorse is the babalas of the alcoholic. You know, the alcoholic who wakes up in the morning and says, oh, my head hurts. Oh, I'm so thirsty. Oh, I feel so sick. Why did I know this? Friends, sadly, at some point in time, I also got drunk. I don't know why, but I learned from it. It wasn't something that was pleasant. But repentance for the alcoholic is the AA program. Remorse is the babalas, oh, got a sore head. But repentance is going to AA and dealing with the alcoholism. Friends, the first basic of Christianity is true repentance. The second one is faith in God. When you've turned away from something, you must turn toward something, or in this case, someone, which is God. A little bit later on in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6, we read, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who believes must come to him, must believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Friends, the second step, the second basic step of being a Christian is faith in God. You've got to move beyond that, friends. You've got to have that first and second step. You've got to have the third step. The third step is in verse 2, are instructions about baptism. Many people who claim to have placed their faith in Jesus fail in the very first step of obedience in becoming a believer. Friends, the Bible is very clear about the logical order of growth in our faith. The Bible says, repent, believe, and be baptized. It doesn't say, repent, believe, wait and think a long time about it, pray about it, have a long lot of classes. No, it's repent, believe, and be baptized. It's one continuous action, friends. Not to be baptized, friends, is an expression of a lack of faith. The Bible doesn't say, first be baptized, then express your belief, and maybe repent at a later stage. No, it's repent, believe, be baptized. And then, fourthly, the fourth group of things we need to do is the laying on of hands or the resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment. These are just three random topics I believe the writer to the book of Hebrews is choosing that every mature believer should know something about. Can you tell me something about the laying on of hands, or about the resurrection of the dead, or about eternal judgment? Friends, as believers, as mature believers, we should know the answers to those things and many other important doctrines of the church. So, friends, if we're to know that we've matured in our faith, let me ask you, does the description of the immature believer still define you? Have you moved beyond the basics? Have you followed the demand to go beyond the basics? Now, thirdly, the writer to the book of Hebrews, in trying to answer this question of how do we know if we've moved, if we have a matured in our faith, he gives us a danger sign to take note of. Verse 4 says, it is impossible for those who have been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the power of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance. Because of their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Now, let me say at the outside, these are some of the most difficult verses in the whole Bible to understand and explain. Not that they contain difficult words, but rather, friends, that they contain a very difficult message. And the message appears very clear. The message in these verses is simply this: if you turn your back on Jesus after initially following him, you will lose your salvation and never can come back to him again. Now that's a hard message. However, let me say there are some other factors to consider. First of all, the doctrine of eternal security. Friend, the Bible clearly teaches once saved, always saved. I've got a whole message on this particular subject, and if you're interested, I'll send it to you and give it to you. Friends, the simple reality is, if we could lose our salvation, we will never know when we have it. Jesus himself said, "No one can snatch them out of my hands." It's a difficult passage. How do we cope with this passage that the writer to the book of Hebrews, or the book of Hebrews, is saying, and the doctrine of eternal salvation? Well, one of the answers is the second point, the word "if." The writer to the book of Hebrews is not saying that this has already happened, but is rather speculating about what could happen if people turned their back on him. It says that if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance. He's not saying they have. He's just saying if they have. Well, there's a third way to look at this passage. It's the completed work of Christ. Friends, the Bible tells us Christ died once for all time. You see, in reality, from a biblical perspective, Christ can never and does not need ever to be crucified again. Once for all time. So it's made it very clear, if he's died once for all time, how can he be crucified again, according to this passage? Fourth thing we must understand as we think about this passage is this phrase, "fall away." This phrase doesn't refer to sinful behavior, because we all sin, friends. None of us are beyond the temptation of Satan and falling for that. However, the point the writer to the book of Hebrews is trying to make is that if you publicly, outwardly, blatantly reject Jesus, you will be guilty of what the Bible calls the sin against the Holy Spirit. That's the only sin that is unforgivable. The sin against the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit tells you who Jesus is, and you decide you know who he is. You may even have said, "I acknowledge him and accept him," but turn your back on him. So how should we understand this passage, this very difficult passage, which seems to say that if you turn your back on Jesus, you can lose your salvation and never come back? Well, I believe this is one way to understand it. I believe the writer to the book of Hebrews is using the language of hyperbole. Hyperbole is saying something in an exaggerated way to make a point. He's simply saying, friends, are you taking your faith seriously? This is a big red flag to say, pass up. Don't mess around with God. Friend, this is a serious business. This is something that you must take note of, that there is this possibility. He's not saying it's happened, but there is this possibility that if you turn your back on Jesus, he will turn his back on you. Now, lastly, how do we know if we have matured in our faith? Well, if we understand the description of immature believers and have moved beyond it, if we have followed the demand to grow beyond the basics, if we've kind of seen the danger sign that needs to be taken note of. And the fourth thing the writer to the book of Hebrews is telling us is giving us directions we are to follow. Verses 7 to 12 give us some of those directions. The first of them in verse 7 and 8 is to lead a productive life. He says, land that drinks in the rain after falling on it and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it was farmed receives the blessing of God. Friend, when a plant stops growing or producing fruit, we dig it up and throw it away. The Bible reminds us that God is like a gardener who prunes away that which doesn't produce fruit. So, what must we do? Produce fruit. That's the job to do as Christians. Secondly, make yourself accountable to each other. The little phrase in verse 9 that says, things that accompany salvation is a Greek idiom that means keeping hold of others or making ourselves accountable to others. Friends, if we're to grow as Christians, we must be accountable to each other. Thirdly, if we're to follow directions, we must love our neighbors. Verse 10 says, God's not unjust. He will not forgive your work and the love you have shown to him as you have helped his people. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 25, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. You was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Friends, we are to love our neighbor. And fourthly, we are to persevere. That's the fourth direction. Verse 11 says, we want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end. Friends, the Bible is full of encouragements. Just one of them says, press on toward the goal. Paul tells us to do that. Perseverance. So, how do you know if you've matured in your faith? Well, first of all, do you understand the description of immature believers given to us? Are you an immature believer? Are you still drinking milk or are you eating solid food? Are you listening to the demand to grow beyond the basics? Friend, are you still battling with the basics? Have you been baptized? That's a basic, friend. Being baptized is just one of the first steps of being a Christian. Many believers, as they say in Afrikaans, hak vas hier, they don't go through the waters of baptism. Thirdly, heed the danger sign. Friend, be careful. The message is stark. I don't know how else to put it, friends, when the writer to the Hebrews it says this is something you've got to be very careful of. Friend, don't lose your salvation. Don't reject Jesus totally. And then finally, obey the directions you are to follow. If you mature in your faith, that's what you will do. There are directions we are to follow. The mature person follows those directions. Let's pray together. Lord, help us to be mature in the faith. Help us to grow so that we can become teachers of others and grow others in their faith and understanding of you. We pray that to your glory. In Jesus' name we ask that. Amen. Friends, don't forget that our whole theme during this book of Hebrews is that it's all about Jesus. If we don't point people to Jesus and grow people in Jesus, friends, how will they ever grow? We must grow so they can grow. Amen.